So let's begin our worship with the first of our songs. Shout to the Lord all together.
Hi everyone. Oh my goodness, I'm out. Hello, I'm on. When we learned this song 24 years ago, we were challenged by our worship leader. And he said, well, I want you to think of the words, because down in the chorus, it says, I sing for joy at the work of your hands. And if you don't mean it, don't sing it. And that was very challenging, because I know there are times when I kind of maybe cringe a bit or complain a bit or things like that, or maybe even resent it sometimes. I mean, I'm a human. But I have carried that challenge with me 24 years. Every time I sing this song, I challenge myself to sing for joy at the work of his hands. So I just encourage you to maybe take that challenge if you like as well, because it's a great song. Let's make a joyful noise. Shout to the Lord.
towards the start of our service, we have a children's talk, and I've got two volunteers already. Three volunteers. Well, I would like to invite Charlie to come out, and Deborah, if you could bring Charlie out. I've got a seat here for Charlie to be able to sit on. And why, we're not surprised you can't find the seat yourself. Now, I would like you guys today to be the teacher. You don't know what to say. Well, what I would like you to do is I ask you a question. If you know the answer, I'll ask you to tell the answer to Charlie. Okay? Now, this is all about Charlie's baptism taking place today. Who knows what happens at a baptism? Would you like to say that a little bit better so people can hear what number four might have done? Deep voices.
You become a child of God.
God is part of your life, isn't it? A child of God means that God will look after you for the rest of your life. Now, what do we need when we have a baptism? What do we need?
Water.
Let's check this out. Charlie, is there water there? You put your hand there and see if it's is it water? Put your finger in there, is it water? It's water, isn't it? Okay. So that's the first thing we need is water. Because baptism means to wash. Okay? So we need water. What else will we have? Why didn't I think of that one?
A child.
Yes, we need the baptisee, don't we? We need someone who's going to get baptised. What else do we need, Lynn? A baptiser. I can see where this is running. Okay, I'll give a little hint. I've got this little bottle here. And you probably will get a hint if I pour some of that into this little bowl.
It's oil.
But it's not castor. It's not motor car oil. No, it's not motor car oil. Let's leave that oil there. What do we do with the oil? We're going to anoint. When we anoint someone, what do we do? It's easy to see you guys were baptized when you were little buds. We give the person a blessing, so we're going to use that oil to give Charlie a blessing. What else is there? You might get a hint. There's something else here on the rail. That's a candle. You're right, Charlie. Have a look. It's got a special sticker on it, hasn't it? Yeah. And we're going to light that candle after you've been baptised. But there's already a candle there, a big candle. Does anyone know what that big candle is? We have it at a special time of year we light it.
Every time someone is baptized or at a funeral. It's also known as a big candle.
It's also known as the big candle. Yeah, I've had classrooms just like this. I've got the answer up here, but it's not coming from there. It's also called our Easter candle, sometimes called our Paschal candle. And we do light it, yes, you're right, we do light it at baptisms and we do light it at funerals because it's a special time to remember the light of Christ, of Jesus. Got another answer?
Sometimes there's a small candle.
And the other one is the small candle, exactly. Okay, so we're going to use all of that shortly when Charlie gets baptised. Now, most of you kids will be heading off to Sunday school and to creche. So I just need one volunteer to do the next part. This is our assistant minister. His name's Ezekiel, and he is a regular at this particular job.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We are the body of Christ.
His Spirit is with us.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thanks, guys. Would you like to meet and greet people around? This is just an informal way of meeting and greeting.
very mixed feelings. We often come with heaviness on our heart because we know that things aren't right between us and God. So let's confess now the things that are keeping us away from God. Lord our God, we call for your help.
Pay attention to our
prayer. Lord, if you kept a record of our sins,
you will pass the test of our lives to truly and accusation.
You offer forgiveness
that we might believe in one of you.
So we are counting on you, our Lord.
We cannot rely on ourselves and we are
you put our hope, sorry, we put our hope
in the truth of your word.
Our faith is in you, our Lord and our God.
For in you we find our way and our love and our kindness and mercy.
Only you can free us.
We promise to you.
Lord our God, we call for your help.
Hear our cry, Lord. Pay attention to our prayer.
God offers forgiveness through his unfailing love and his abundance of mercy. Be forgiven. Feel forgiveness and be forgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Each week we have a Bible reading, and the Bible reading that I'm going to use today is the one set down from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 23. It starts at verse 1 and to put it into a context, Jesus is talking to a crowd of people, which include his disciples. So there are, if you like, there are some people who have come just simply to hear Jesus because they've heard about him, and others have been following him for some time. This is about 3 years into Jesus' ministry that this event takes place, and there is this starts a special section of the Gospel of Matthew where, in teaching terms, Jesus is revising with his students what he's been teaching for the last 3 years. Because he's about to leave, he's about to go to be crucified. He knows that's going to happen. He's trying to tell the disciples. They haven't twigged to that situation yet. They will in a couple of chapters' time in the Gospel of Matthew. But in Matthew 23, we read first of all, "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his people, 'The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat.'" Now, just to explain what Jesus was talking about there, that means that the Pharisees, those people that were the leaders of the Jewish faith at that time, the Pharisees were one of those leading groups. They were the ones basically that made up the laws. They interpreted the law. They told people how to behave. I guess in today's society we could call them sort of like the politicians of our time, making the rules and the regulations for people to sit by, to live by. And when Jesus says that they are on Moses' seat, it means basically that's where they get their authority from, Moses, who was given the Ten Commandments some time millennia before. So Jesus says about these people, "You must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach." Now, at Jesus' time, the Pharisees, as I say, was one of the leading groups within Judaism. They no longer exist, because in the year 70, there was a Jewish uprising in Jerusalem, and the uprising was against the Roman emperor, and the Roman army came in and they completely sacked Jerusalem. They demolished the temple, which coincidentally they had been involved in building, but They came in, they sacked the temple, and that meant that the Pharisees had nowhere to conduct their business. They weren't the only ones to go out at the time. There were other groups, Sadducees and scribes, that were in that Christian group. But for us, the important thing for us to remember there is the fact that what Jesus is saying is, you have to obey something, but don't do what they're doing. There are many of us who, in today's society, aren't very happy with some of the laws that are made up. They're passed, they go through government, they go through parliament, and we have to abide by those laws because they are set down by our parliaments. But in this particular case that Jesus was talking about, not even the Pharisees who were making up the laws paid any attention to them. As a matter of fact, they were quite hypocritical. They indeed made it harder and harder for people to follow the rules and regulations. When Moses had received 10 commandments on Mount Sinai, they had taken those 10 commandments, they had subdivided them, and they had subdivided and subdivided to the point where they ended up with 603 different subdivisions. And if you put the 10 commandments on top of that, you get 613 rules and regulations. They weren't just satisfied with saying that on the Sabbath day you weren't supposed to work. That was too simple. And then politicised it by going through and deciding, well, what was work? And what could you do that just had to be done, or what could be left to another day? Those sorts of regulations were what were developed. And Jesus is saying, you have to pay attention to them, but they don't practice what they preach. So we have to be true to the word of God. We have to be true to God's wishes, God's desires in our life. These people were making it harder for everybody. And I'll give you an example, because Jesus says in verse 5 of chapter 23, everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. Well, I think we all know what a tassel is. You can imagine someone who was sitting down just reading, and as they were reading, they were just pulling the hem of their garment, or the tassel on the end of their apron, and it would get longer and longer because they were sitting there just reading away. And so they would say, oh, look, I've done a lot of reading. Look at the length of my tassel. Aren't I a good person because I've been reading scripture so much? And the phylactery, have you ever seen a picture of an Orthodox or a traditional Jew? And that is that they've got a little, like a little box type thing on their forehead, held on by a ribbon around their head. Well, that's the phylactery. What was in the box? Well, the box was made up of the little notes that they had made during the course of their study. So if they wanted to show people they'd done a lot of study, they would need a bigger box. They didn't necessarily follow what they had been studying, but that's what they did. So Jesus is telling the people of his time, and indeed, if we carry that through to today, we are reminded that we should practice what we preach. We should not be hypocritical. We should not be expecting someone else to do what we are not expecting to do ourselves. The image of that is lived out in the life of Jesus, because Jesus becomes the servant of all. He's the one who came not to be served, but to serve. And Scripture tells us that he not only came to serve, but to give his life. Now, all of this is included in Matthew 23. There's a lot more that's in there about how these people like to have the pride of place and banquets. They like to be acknowledged, they like to be called by official names and the like. And Jesus is telling his disciples and the crowd of people that were around him that day, don't be like that. Live the relationship that you have with God. Live it out. Don't carry it out in such a way that it's a whole set of rules and regulations. Live your life in a relationship with God, not being condemning, not being one who wants to attract attention to themselves, but attract attention to the one that you serve. Okay, all of that said, the principal action that I'd like to be able to move into now is Charlie's baptism. So, if we could have Charlie back again, only this time, Charlie, you're going to have some people with you, because you're going to have mum and dad.
You're right.
And you're going to have some godparents. And while they're getting here, I'm going to have to put my official robes on. This robe is called an owl. It's a funny name, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is an owl. The reason we call it an owl is because of its colour. What colour is this? In the Latin, where most of the origin of our words in the church come from, we have the colour for white, which is albedo, and so the white robe we call an owl. Now, having wrestled with that, the next thing I put around myself is a girdle. Now, you don't know what a girdle is, don't you? Do?
You do.
It's one of these, isn't it?
Yep.
We just put this around us to keep everything in shape. Isn't that what a girdle does? And the last thing I put on is what we call a stole. It's a scarf. If I put one of these on in the street, something like this, we call it a scarf. I probably wrap it around in the cold and everything. But this one's called a stole. Can you see it's got a special symbol on it? Got a nice little fringe?
Yeah.
It is indeed. The one that I wear on occasions like this. And now we start getting ready for your baptism. Before we do the baptism, I have to ask some questions. And because, you know, you're not in high school yet, are you? You know about high school? Not quite yet. I'm going to ask your mum and dad and your godparents to answer some questions. Right? The questions are going to come up on that screen or this screen, whichever you prefer. So Gemma and Christopher, bring them in forward. Kirsty, Anthony and Lindsay, will you accept the responsibilities placed upon you in bringing Charlie for baptism? Are you willing to answer on behalf of Charlie? By your own prayers and example, by your friendship and love, will you encourage Charlie in the life and faith of the Christian community? So before God in this congregation, you must affirm that you turn to Christ and reject all that is evil. Now, before I ask these questions, I'm going to set a challenge for the congregation. Because you see, at every baptism, there is an opportunity for us to think back to our baptism. And if we were baptized as a little baby or as a young child, we may not remember the sorts of things that were said. So I'm going to give you the opportunity, as I ask these questions of Charlie's sponsors, for you to answer as well, to remind yourself of the promises that were made at your baptism. So do you turn to Christ? Do you repent of your sins? Do you reject selfish living and all that is false and unjust? Do you renounce Satan and all evil? And this prayer, while you may read it and have it applied to you, this prayer is often for Charlie. Thank you. I'm going to kneel down because this is a special prayer. And sometimes when people pray, they like to kneel down. So Almighty God, deliver you from the powers of darkness and lead you in the light of Christ to be the everlasting kingdom. Amen. And now, will you which by God's grace strive to live as disciples of Christ, loving God with your whole heart and your neighbour as yourself until your life's end? Now this, you guys have done as much as you need to do at this point of time, but just wait there for a moment or two, because it's up to everybody else now to answer this question. And echoing what Deb said about singing that first song, don't agree to it if you don't want to do it. You have heard Charlie's sponsors respond to Christ. Will you support them in this calling? There you go. They've signed the contract. Now we come to the water. Which one was the water?
For everything.
A time to be born.
A time to die.
A time to plant.
A time to kill.
A time to tear down.
A time to
cry.
A time to
grieve.
A time to scatter stones.
A time to embrace.
A time to
search. A time to keep.
A time to
tear.
A time to
be quiet.
A time to
love.
A time for
war.
God has made everything beautiful.
He has planted eternity in the human heart. People should meet and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labour. Whatever God does is final. God's purpose is this.
Amen.
You saw me yesterday. That's right. I came to your house just after you had to swim. Yep. And I said I was going to put some water on your head. Can you remember how many times? Many times. Charlie, Elizabeth, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit.
Charlie, hopefully it will stay. I know where the band's going down.
God has brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Shine his light in the world to the glory of God the Father.
Now, when you made all the words about him, would you blow the candles out? Would you like to blow this one out?
accept and use our offerings for your glory and the service of your kingdom. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
We give our thanks and praise.
Gracious God, we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine. And we pray that we who receive them in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, according to our Saviour's word, in remembrance of his suffering and death, may share his body and blood. On the night before he died, Jesus took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." May we who share these gifts be renewed by your Holy Spirit and united in the body of your Son. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body.
We all share one bread.
Draw near with faith to feed on Christ in your hearts with thanksgiving.
Amen.
All are welcome to come forward to share the body and blood of Christ, or just to receive a blessing.
the Sunday school to share with us something of what they have done. You must say that I found it very hard to give communion to an 11-year-old with a moustache. Or one of the young ladies in our singing group with great bushy eyebrows. So what did you do?
Nothing.
Produce your mic there. Thank you. Others see Jesus in me. Okay. Right. So, apart from being Movember, is there any other connection? Except for having a little fun.
Jesus would have had a moustache.
Yeah, he wouldn't have shaved. Gillette hadn't been invented at that stage. What are we going to say?
WWJD.
Which stands for?
What would Jesus do?
Exactly. So Jesus would grow a moustache, so you'd grow a moustache. I don't think it would have been a pink one. Thank you. At the door we have a handout for activities that are coming up in the parish this week. If I can just briefly mention, Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, 6 or 6:30 is Man Cove. What happens in Man Cove stays in Man Cove, except everybody will know that this Tuesday night we are having Gary, it's Italian. Right. So I can cross out the Indian that I announced at the early service and the Indonesian that I was just about to say, it's Italian. Okay. 6 for 6:30, then next Friday morning for the early starters at 7 a.m. down at Crumbs in Caloundra, we have our men's breakfast.
At the end of the service, we normally say the grace. These are some words that are quite often used in the Anglican Church. I think this morning, because we're running a little bit late, we might just stand where we are. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all
evermore.
Amen.
And our final song, Joy, Joy, Joy.